Good morning, everyone, and thank you for being here this morning on this Sunday morning. I'm happy you're here with us and delighted that we are here in this safe space together as we are every Sunday morning, focused on helping ourselves heal and helping our families get better. God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. Oh, I am super excited to have with us this morning Dr. Linda McGee. Dr. McGee has been with us since the very, very, very beginning. She is a phenomenal friend and currently visiting assistant professor at George Washington and assistant clinical professor at Loyola, which is awesome. Dr. Linda is a mental health expert for the Steve Fund, which is an organization devoted to mental health for college students of color. And she has, like I said, been here with the Sunrise Project since the very, very, very beginning and was a regular guest featured on the former OWN Network podcast, which we had with the Sunrise Project. She is the host of a multicultural podcast, which features lectures and leading thinkers in the exploration of in the intersection of psychology and culture. And she is a mom and a wife and just a phenomenal human being with tremendous expertise in this space. So happy that you are back, Dr. Linda, for this open session for people that might be new this morning. We do an open session the first Sunday of every month because we want anybody and everybody that may have something on their hearts or something on their minds or need some coaching or just some support from our group. That's why we do this open session. So it's not a specific focused agenda or a particular topic, although I do want to start with just talking about the world that we're in right now, Dr. Linda, and the government
Yes.
shutdown and the stress of it all.
Well, first I want to say to the Sunrise community and Kelly Richardson in particular, that I am just so grateful for the Sunrise Project and the
Me too.
opportunity that it's given me to figure out my place in
Yes,
this world
yes.
in psychology and helping me to have the courage to speak even when it's not really in my best interest at this point in time in our country to speak on
Why do
certain
you say
issues.
that? Why do you say it's not in my best interest? Say more on that.
Well, I think we're at this point now where what you say is scrutinized at a level that has never been scrutinized. And for those of you, I'm not a DEI specialist, but I do talk about race and I do talk about culture. And so when I conceived of the Multicultural Psychologist podcast, which I started about, I guess, 7 months ago, it was not conceived to be in an administration like this, where I just But when I had the opportunity to decide whether or not to put my blood, money, sweat, tears into this, I decided to go ahead because I knew that I would find protection and I would be on the side of the interest of all of the people out there who are trying to make it. And trying to get help and services and trying to train to be psychologists, all of the people where it intersects, psychology intersects with culture. But to address your specific question, but I just wanted to start off with some gratitude this morning, because it always, I feel like, makes us lighter. And so Kelly and I talk a lot about just being grateful for the opportunity that Sunrise gives us, and we're just following it where we decided about a year ago we were gonna follow it where it goes,
That's
right?
right. And just take the stress off of this too. Although we do need to put the latest episodes up on the website. I know there was a wonderful woman who asked about that last week and said, "Where are they?" And we still need to get that done, and that is going to happen this week.
So you were
But
talking about the current times,
Yes.
And I just wanted to speak a little bit about what it feels like to walk around with this heaviness and how it leaves us with the chaos from outside houses itself in us, the anxiety that is being created intentionally in many instances, we can't help but to internalize it. And for me personally, it has been a lot of having to block out and to just deal with the anxious feelings that comes with every single bit of news. And again, we have to understand that the chaos and the cruelty are the points.
Right.
Stir people up, get them to turn against each other, get them to believe, to lose their belief in humanity, to lose their belief in government, and even to lose their faith. Right? I mean, these are well-worn scripts that are being utilized. But today, I don't want to focus so much on them as to focus, if we can, on us. And the tried and true is not sufficient right now. Going to take a vacation to Bali, although nice, and for those of you who need to get out of the country for a minute, do it. But you can, wherever, in the meditation or wherever they say, wherever you are, wherever you go, you are. You can't outrun being an American right now. You can change a geographical space. But going away, going to the spa, buying those shoes, it's not enough. And so that's been on my heart this morning. I told Kelly immediately when she picked up this morning that I just wanted to lead off by saying we're doing now what we do when our back's against the wall. And the tried and true self-care won't do it. We are figuring out how to use what power we have. We have made decisions on whether or not we're gonna get out and be the first line in the streets. We have made decisions about how we spend our dollars. We have made decisions to help within our own communities. We have made the decision to be compassionate. And we are a people, and I'm not just talking about all based on racial lines. We are a people that show our souls when the going gets tough. And right now, we're showing our souls. We are doing the inner work of showing up our souls, giving ourselves strength. I'm doing everything I can. I mean, I'm sitting in on whatever I can do to shore myself up because, as leaders, and those of you who are on this line that are lead other people, whether it be your families or at work or because you're in a helping profession, you even have to shore yourself up even more. You have to do the inner work of whatever it takes to strengthen you, strengthen your faith, strengthen your resolve. Strengthen your spouse, strengthen your children.
And how, Dr. Leonard, that's the question. I think most of the people on the call, especially the people that come here regularly, we are working, aggressively and actively on ourselves to try to strengthen and to try to build those muscles, those inner muscles. And we're leaning into faith. In fact, I was thinking about the last time you were here a month ago. We had that incredible man that popped on the call, and we were talking about leaning into faith over fear because we often, especially with our children, we parent, we have parented in the past, in many cases, out of fear. And when we lean into faith, we can see transition, sometimes. But as with this world is changing so rapidly, and there's even so much more stress and anxiety in the world, what kinds of tools do you employ with your son? I know you have a son. What kind of tools are there to help our children grapple with this world? And while they may have their own issues as well.
I personally think that we have to acknowledge that our children are separate beings from us. And we've already done a lot of the groundwork, right? What you haven't done between 0 and 25 is not gonna happen at 26. Okay. So you build the foundation, but you stay positive. I mean, you're not a Pollyanna, but I was talking to one of my relatives that was being really, really negative about around my child, her child, and other people. And then I was just like, I don't think that we serve our children by always bringing up the worst case scenario. They have to go out there. And so what I said to her was like, you know what? You're sending your child out there with a bunch of fear, and they have to go out there. They can't stay home. We can't keep them in a cotton ball. So I want people to shore themselves up, and we'll talk about how in a minute, which was your original question, but we turn to the children. You can also, while you're shoring yourself up, try to work with the child practically. Right, around what they can do, what is within their control, right? What is within their control? It is within their control to work on their attitudes, figure out what they want, figure out how they can get assistance to get there. No one gets anywhere without help. To continue to prioritize their mental health, because the reason why most of us are here is because our child is struggling with mental health issues, substance abuse issues, or just, a failure to thrive, right? Our children are having difficulties because of the geopolitical situations, individuating, going out on their own, economically, physically, mentally. It's tougher. Someone was telling me the other day that the building, one of the buildings that I lived in when I first moved here, absolutely broke to the DMV to go to law school, paid $338 for rent of an efficiency in downtown Washington, D.C. Now you can't get an efficiency downtown D.C. for less than $2,500, right?
That's right.
So, it's a different world out there. So those of you who have your kids at home, my kids at home too, right? And for now. And you also, unfortunately though, you do have to shore them up and give them a modified talk about what's happening, particularly those of us who are in these cities where there's a heavy presence of government police. So I'm leery about socializing in DC, and I've expressed that concern to my son. I don't know if anyone else has done the same, but put it in the chat. So look, work on the behalf of your children and other people's children. Opening up opportunities for other people's children and your own is how we're going, grouping together, recommending someone, hiring a student who's doing something on the side, or a young adult who's doing something on the side. That is how traditionally we as a people have shown our souls, right? That's how we show our souls. When we were doing the Montgomery bus boycott, you think that was easy for a year? To not have the public transportation system where Black people didn't have cars. But what we did was we grouped together. We gave each other rides. We prayed together. We contributed what money we had. Celebrities helped us. We used the courts to the degree that we could. So when I say soul work, when I started off by talking about using your money wisely, using, figuring out, which boycott you're going to get behind and who you're going to support, that's all a part of the soul work, is to sort of figure out on the inside, what can I do, right? What can I do? And that comes from deep within. And every family has to make their own judgments about that soul work. For me, the soul work has included figuring out how to distance myself from some of it sometimes. And sometimes I do what I admonished against was I do put geographic miles between me and the DMV sometimes. And I will be doing that as much as I can. Because sometimes when I roll away, either on a plane or in my car, I get more peace. When I roll across the cornfields of Delaware, my blood pressure goes down. When I see the ocean or the mountains, But when I say soul work, to go back to the original question, it's
Around anxiety, right?
whatever it takes, right? For some people, it might be like, I have to like just go away and meditate. You talked about earlier, you like to write things down. Whatever it takes for you to leave your house or start that first call of the day with a sense of peace. If it takes, and some days we joke that it's gonna take prayer, exercise, yoga, your crystals, some tea, whatever it takes. That's the kind of work that I'm talking about. You understand, like I'm understanding right now that I'm anxious, right? And so this week I'm gonna focus on whatever it takes to get me back to a non-anxious situation. And you all know deep in your soul what that might be, right? And then the soul work requires us to just keep our eyes open to what our neighbors are going through,
I
right?
was going to say, no matter what we're going through, it could always be worse. And I, to your point about meditation, there was one of our guests, I think it may have even been last week, was talking about what she does in the morning. A lot of people turn over and look at their phones first thing, start looking at text messages, looking at social. She said she does not do that until she does all of her other practices where she breathes and then she meditates and she does her daily devotions. Or reads the daily word, little things like that that help ground her in her day before she ever lets the external pieces that are filled with, as you mentioned earlier, filled with bad news, all the time.
So you're
And that's an
waking up and
opportunity.
you're emptying your cup out, right? Instead of filling your cup. Some of us are on jobs and contracts and boards where there are people that really are seem demonic right now.
Or of the
And they
hundreds
are
of thousands
acting
of people who've lost their jobs after
right.
that.
And
That's a whole
we're
nother
facing
stress.
economic, despair. You're right. So for many of us, we have to figure out how to fill our cups. And the point that I was making earlier, this is not about acquiring anything. This is about the work that it's hard for me to put in a sound bite, although D is working really hard to put some things in chat. But how it makes you feel that you connected a young person to a graduate program, or you pray for someone. Or you just got up in the morning after you're doing your devotions and you sent someone a text, hey, I was just thinking about you. How's the recovery going? Right? And to understand what that means, right? As I was going through things in the last year, death of two siblings, I just want y'all to know that some of those texts hit me on days where the despair was so heavy. And just like, I'm thinking about you, Linda. I'm praying for you. I'm praying for your strength. You can do this. Hey, just want you to know I love you. Right? Those messages and those timely scriptures is can be the thing that gets you through the next 3 hours. Right? And we were talking, Kelly and I were talking earlier about just like the things that we're all going through. We have young children that are struggling, and young adult children that are struggling. Our parents are either their health challenged, or we're in that sandwich generation where our parents dying and we're still raising kids. Right?
Many people.
There are just to just understand that there are so many people that are out there burdened, and that you can lift someone else's burden, that please know that in the universe it will come back to you.
I love that. I love that. And I do agree. Nikki says, I love those on-time messages. They make all the difference. And someone just says, hey, you're on my mind today. Does anybody have anything they want to share? The last time, as I mentioned, Dr. Linda was here and an incredible gentleman came on the phone who said he's going to be a guest, I believe, in one of the coming weeks. And he said, I am your children. I was that kid and I turned my life over. He said in his last incarceration, he had turned his life over because the seeds had been planted and the seeds were there, even though his parent mother didn't see that the seeds were there. He had really listened and he turned his life around and now has a doctorate and helping youth, and it was just an incredible moment. So I want to provide and make sure that people know this is intended for you to share or put out there if you choose what's on your heart. And because this is a safe space, everybody here is dealing with something, and we're here to help or just listen. So if you're on your phone, you can hit star six if you want to come off of mute, or you can put something in the chat if that feels more comfortable. Or not. You might just want to be here and be. And there's a hand up. Yes, please feel free to come off of mute.
Thank you. Thank you, Dr. Linda, and thank you, Kelly. What always coming at the right moment. These calls, thank you so much for that. Last time we were here. Yes, that was my cousin who
Oh, he was
shared. Yeah,
amazing. He is
Taharka. Yeah.
amazing. Taharka,
He
yes.
was definitely right on time with his messages.
Yes.
I had this experience. I am in recovery for my own journey through this as a parent. And I had a celebration last night, and I invited like my sponsor and my mentor, and they're in the same age group as my mother. And my mom is very active, like out in the streets, hanging out still with her friends. And it was a great moment to have her be in proximity to the people who are helping me navigate a journey that she sort of put me on, and I got a chance to just breathe, right? The celebration was about me, and everybody got to, be with each other in ways that I could not have planned. And, I feel like it was valuable to her because she got to be inquisitive with these folks and very candid about her own journey. And I had nothing to do with it where I wasn't orchestrating it. And it was really very, very inviting. And the big gift for me was when my 28-year-old walked into the door, because he's the one that I come to this group for, and he wasn't high. He wasn't, I mean, he's got his social things where he's not really trying to be in a group for too long, but he wasn't high. The last birthday gathering I had, he was out of his mind, And this one, he was so present and so sober. I almost didn't know how to be with it because I'm so used to riding that other wave. But to have him be there, Even though he only stayed for a little while, he stayed for what he could stay for. He stayed for what he could give. And I was just so grateful. I was like, you can't leave before we take a picture. You know, there's if you don't take a picture with me, there's no evidence that you were here. And I just, it was a full circle healing moment that, you know, you just can't predict. I just could not have predicted that moment. And I think I wanted that for my birthday, right? Like, it was important for me to have this gathering. I kept calling it a gathering. It's like, this is not a party. It's a celebration. I'm, you know, gathering folks. And whoever showed up was who was supposed to be there. But the most essential people in my life were in that room yesterday. My two children, my mother, and my recovery team. Like,
Right.
oh.
You know, I just want you to keep sitting in that victory.
Oh, thank
Just sit in it. I feel it's coming on you right now.
you.
Just sit with it.
Oh.
You said you didn't, you wanted to get a picture and so you would have evidence, and that just brought to my mind faith, right? The evidence of things not seen, right? But what you received was grace. Right, you had a multi-generational healing family with you, and when I
Yes.
say family, I mean like the people that's with you. You know, I have my friend, I believe, is on the line today, and she's closer to me than my blood.
That's right.
Right, you don't have it. It is not always the people that birthed you. It's not always the people that are your siblings. You had your earthly people with you.
For sure.
That's
And I'll
right.
say this too, my biological brother walked in the door.
Oh my goodness.
He's 10 years older than me. I haven't seen him since before the pandemic. Now he was intoxicated, but he was there. He found his way to get there. I mean, I hadn't seen him, like I said, and he hadn't seen my son since my son was about 14.
My
Wow.
goodness. And he was there in the capacity that he could be
That
there.
he could be there. I took a picture of him sitting, and I took a picture of my son sitting. They both sit identical to how my father used to sit on a chair. This right leg crossed over the, it's like a particular way. And to capture, and they're on opposite sides of the room. So I can't wait to put the picture together to send them. But yeah, this was grace. This was all the days of prayers and heavy supplications. So in this group, I'm telling you, it took me through the pandemic, y'all. So thank you, thank you, thank you.
That's beautiful. Thank you so much for sharing your story.
What a beautiful testimony. And I don't think that we can add much more than that.
No, I was gonna say I love what you shared, Nikki, and let thank you for being here and for sharing your own journey and being so vulnerable. I really
Yes.
appreciate it. I was thinking about recently my son, my the reason for Sunrise. My son came over. We had a lovely dinner, and I was in this state of real appreciation just for that, for him showing up. And the challenge for me in that time, my journey was to stay in a space of appreciation. A good friend of mine who's on, Deborah, kept saying, "Look at the positive," because he shared how he was high, and he was high right then, and he's high all the time. And I was disappointed, genuinely disappointed. And then quickly, my friend said, stay with the appreciation that he was there and he's alive and he was able to be present with you. And that was what I stick with. And I look forward to him not being high one day.
Yes. I mean, sometimes the victories that I see They don't seem like victories when it's happening with you and your child. But any step, the adversity makes us embrace those small victories. And even within those small victories, that doesn't mean, Kelly, that you can't want more, right?
Absolutely, right.
It's just on that particular day, in that moment, when you are sitting next to him or across from him and his eyes are clear, that's a victory.
Absolutely. I love that journey, Nikki. Thank you for sharing that. So powerful. And I also wanted to acknowledge Carmen posted in the chat. I'll read it. That she says, I buried my dad, Johnny Perdue, on Thursday after a year of fighting pancreas cancer, and he also had Alzheimer's. So his lack of being able to express himself fully during this journey made it more difficult. We had to guess what he was thinking and wanting. Thank you for your prayers. So very deep condolences, Carmen, for you. And thank you for being here. You're here every week.
And just to acknowledge that, those are two really sad and hard diseases. And so we know that, you reached the end of a road, but we know that you struggled. And so my deepest condolences to you and the fight that you were in before he passed.
Absolutely. Wow. So does anybody else want to share anything on your heart this morning, or victory you've had, or something you might be challenged with? Want to make space for that. Or if you want, rather put it in the chat like Carmen did, that's fine as well.
Well, also to acknowledge that the theme or kind of what we where this was headed today was to understand that all of these things are happening at the same time, right? Okay, life goes on, right? And sorrow goes on, and grieving goes on, and joy goes on. This morning I was scrolling, and I just saw one of the HBCUs do a routine where they just were dancing, and it was just so much joy. And so to understand that, oh wow, someone said in the chat, we live in a world and life is in constant motion, right? But I wanted to emphasize that while we're dealing with our own life struggles, while we're managing a world that seems like it has gone seriously mad and the compassion and humanity is seeping away, to do the soul work, to find moments of joy, to figure out where you can find joy. Or just a chuckle.
You know what's interesting about that comment? Because I feel like that is my entire life's intention, is to find joy, to authentic joy. I talk about it all the time. And yet I was talking to my therapist yesterday, and she said I have a habit of, keeping my eye on joy. She said that's a great thing, but I also have a habit of wanting to step past the hard things and the messy stuff and just get over it.
We
And
all do.
so she's, yeah. So the challenge also becomes, while we're shooting for that joy and chasing joy, we really have to sit in some of the messy stuff, the messy things, and work through that, because I think that's what this is all about. Like, it's dealing with that, those messy challenges.
I was thinking about grief, like how we try to like bypass grief and loss. And and I just, again, Nikki and Carmen, for putting it out there, right?
Absolutely.
for putting it out there, and to not trying to go around it.
So great. I love that.
This is why we must give each other grace as well as check in on our sisters. I hold space for and let go and let it flow. This is how we grow. Thank you, namesake Barry
Tracy.
McGee. But I, you know what I wanted to say too? I think like one of the things that occurred to me was that when we go through this kind of stress that we're under, where we're facing people trying to erase our history and down is up and up is down, and we still got to raise these kids and they're still in our house and money is tight and our parents are getting sick, and is that it puts perspective on things. So when Nikki was talking today, I was thinking about we got to stay connected. We got to like think about what happened in the past, right? And is that really important that y'all fell out because so-and-so didn't go to your party 10 years ago? If you see, I saw somebody that I hadn't been in contact with for a while. I saw that they were, had been sick. And I was just, you know what? I'm gonna just text her, you know?
Yes.
And it took me 2 or 3 days to be obedient because I'm just not gonna lie to y'all on here today.
But you did it.
But and it was just like she replied immediately. So good to hear from you. Thank you. And again, I know that COVID, the pandemic, some of us are dealing with immune systems. I want to also encourage everybody to stay in community, right? And I'm not just talking about a text. Go to that birthday dinner, ask somebody for lunch, go walking.
Well, to that point, Nikki, just who shared earlier, she put in the chat that she'll be in the DMV for Morgan State's homecoming, and she shared her cell number if anybody wants to get together. So thank you for
Oh,
doing that.
lovely, lovely.
I'm in Cleveland, but if I can make it back, I would love
A
to meet
great
you.
institution. Like I said, I see it now where people are trying to make communities, even within the social media world, where there's women's dinners and there's people that, so let's try to think broadly about how we can make social ties meet the times, right? Because you might be in a city where there's no family. But I was talking to someone the other day that they joined a board games club, right? Whatever, if it's homecoming to meet with Nikki, if it's Bible study, if it's a dinner club, they have now these read-ins where people just get together and they read, right? And socialize. Whatever it is, try to find space to be social and next to other people. Connection
That's right.
is what is going to, it, one of the major things that is proven in psychological research that gets us through. People that age and adapt and have social ties age better and are happier when they get older. So reach out to that sister, the friend that you kept meaning to get out with, text her some dates today about when you can get together. Don't just say, let's get together. Can we get together on October 31st?
Yeah. Love that. Love that. Love that. So, yes, Nikki's phone number is in the text if you want to reach her directly. And then Jade shared a beautiful passage here. So, thank you for sharing that. And at the end of this beautiful, oh, please go right ahead.
Hi, good morning, everyone.
Good
I have a
morning.
share. It's been a really difficult season. I'm here primarily for two of my kids, one who had almost
lethal suicide attempt her
Oh.
freshman year in college. She went through intense therapy, all of the things, inpatient, outpatient. She's in a graduate program right now, but I still worry about her intensely because she goes on and off medication, diagnosed bipolar, and she is an adult, mid-20s now, doing successfully academically, but I stay on red alert, just worried about some of the choices that she has made and that she is vulnerable to, make other choices that could spiral her. So my therapist keeps reminding me that she's grown, you've done all the things you're supposed to do. But I wanted to make a comment specifically about the power of prayer. Because in the midst of all of this, I've been praying fervently for all three of my children who, go off and on between, please stop sending me stuff like that. I stopped believing in God, in high school. I know that's your love language, but please stop. And then I would send it to another daughter, and then she would say, Mom, she doesn't want to tell you, but she doesn't want you to send her affirmations and things of that sort. And I would say, okay, I understand that, but I'm still going to pray. I'm still going to pray for my children. And so I've been doing that fervently. And I just want to tell this group that no matter where they are, just keep praying. Just pray fervently because we are where we are because we had praying grandmothers and great grandmothers. And so even though I'm walking through a space, I'm married by my husband. We're not evenly yoked spiritually. So I'm walking this journey alone, but I know that God hears our prayers and that our children need us to pray fervently for them, whether they are ready to receive it or not. And so I just wanted to remind us to just don't give up on prayer because it works. And right now, all three of my kids are in a steady state. And I know fervently it's because of the prayers that I'm doing every day. Whether they are receiving them from me or not, God is working in their lives. So just don't forget to pray.
Oh, thank you, Jeanette, for sharing that. It's beautiful, and I believe that so truly and deeply.
You've been on such a tough road. And it's I hesitate to say this, but one of the things that we have to be the most concerned about is just the growing suicide rate. And I just want to put it out there. Watch your children, watch and pray. But Jeanette, thank you so much for reminding us that even when you don't put it in their text, you can do it on your knees. You
That's
can
right.
do it from wherever. You can pray without ceasing for your children. But I also just wanted to say what you're going through is a bit of a post-traumatic stress, really.
I know.
And for you to just know that you're going to jump when that phone rings for a while, but I want you to continue to pray for yourself. That your nerves can be calmed when the phone rings, that you're not constantly worried. Your daughter's making it. Your therapist is right. She's making it day by day. And you can continue to support her through prayer. But I also want you to pray for you about how you can stay supported and how you cannot operate in a constant state of fear.
Thank you. Thank you for that. Thank you, Linda.
That's beautiful. Thank you for sharing
But
that.
I will say one more thing, as a parent personally who's gotten that 4 a.m. call, not on suicide, but you know what I'm talking about. Everybody on this phone call knows what I'm talking about that has a child. Okay. Once you get that 4 a.m. call, you don't stop worrying for a while.
Or forever. How about that?
Yeah.
Forever.
Yeah. It's really hard. And I feel like that's one of the areas that I've been working on is to not always be like, what's wrong? right? Because the
Right.
spirit, that is the spirit that I'm trying to work on.
Right. But prayer works. I just want to say that again. It
It
works.
does.
It does.
I want to. I've been wanting this whole call is, and I see Kelly doing the same thing, is for you all to just take in what is being put out here today. And seep, let that seep into your spirit, the strength that is being imparted to you, the faith that is being imparted to you, and the strength.
Yeah, I say good morning, ladies.
Good morning.
I wanted I was going to make a comment about two different things, but I first want to address Jeanette. One of my nephews is struggling, and we have a family that they didn't call us to let us know he's been struggling until it was somebody needs to reach him right away. And at the time when I spoke to him, he stated that he did not have faith in God anymore, and he was not really, he wasn't not responding to text messages, and he didn't want to talk to his grandmother or his mother because all they tell him to do is pray, 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 pray. And I suggested, I sent him podcasts. He responded to the podcast. I sent him quotes and affirmations, but I also told him that whenever he feels that he's about to just tap out, open his phone, and whatever is there is what he needs to hear. And so I always suggest continue to send the prayers, continue to send the quotes, continue to send the affirmations, regardless, because they will read them when God says they need to hear them. And if God says that he needs to release them, then God says so, and we have to be okay with whatever God says. But I do feel that we should continue to send the messages. Let them delete it. That's not in our control. So let them. But we should also do what we know works for us. Because there are times that I may not have gotten a message or a text message, and then I opened up my phone and it was right there at the right time. The other thing I wanted to say is, like I lost both of my parents during the pandemic a week after each other, right before Thanksgiving, Saturday before, Saturday after. And this week I've lost three family members. And this time is a trigger. I've already made a post that my no was no contact in November. Like I just don't want to do galas, birthdays. I don't want to socialize. So we have to also respect where everybody is and see what is that capacity look like. Maybe I don't want to do the galas or the brunches, but I do want to do coffee one-on-one, or I will do a text message, or I will come on a sunrise. So find out what those people need when you make that contact with them to connect. So I just wanted to put that out there, because as a therapist, family typically doesn't call me because they know ethically I can't do therapy with them. But I also know that when they do really need me, they call after so much has happened, and sometimes it's almost too late. And so I just want us to realize the value of connection as well. So thank you all.
Well, first of all, I just want to say I'm so sorry for your losses. And one of the things that I think is really kind of a national tragedy is that we lost over 1 million people in COVID, including your parents. And we haven't really mourned that, even as individuals mourn. And I just want to express to you my sincerest condolences. I do have sympathy for your position, and you're taking care of your own needs. And but I also just want to say that I understand that sometimes we're being tasked to do something, like pray for our kids or support our kids. But and I think that we should do it. But sometimes when your children or your adult children are giving you signals that they can't receive it from you, sometimes I think that we have to exercise some sort of discretion. The Jeanette said on her chat, my daughter pulled out of the family group chat. So if they're not in a position where they can receive it, a pause might be in order. And you know what you might consider doing is taking that prayer and posting it somewhere on in your notes, right? but you don't send it to your child if they've explicitly told you they don't want it. But keep a log of prayers that you kept for them, and maybe one day they will be in a position to receive them. But continue to send them up, and they have to make their own spiritual journeys about whether they can receive them.
And Dr. McGee, that's exactly what I did. I stopped. I decided to respect their boundaries and not send it. But I continue to pray, and I keep a prayer log on my notes that I use just to encourage myself so that it's there. That's exactly what I chose to do, just respect the boundaries that they've established as adults.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Awesome. We have time for probably one more comment or thought before we wrap up this morning. And thank you for everybody that's commented this morning. Any other comments, thoughts, or things anyone wants to share?
Hi, good morning, Kelly. Good morning,
Good
Dr. McGee.
morning.
Good morning. This is Chandra. I've spoken before.
Good morning.
Still got the same ADHD kids and family. Things are, it's like a wave, like everyone. I'm got a little bit of a interesting issue that I'm trying to manage with my family. And part of it is my son is 18 now in culinary school on his own, but definitely had issues during high school with all the things that happened in high school, use of vaping and stopped and then started and then, stopped it. But at some point, yes, the power of prayer is alive. My family is very focused on the fact that he is 18, and when he's away, there's nothing. Sorry, this is so jumbled because I'm thinking about so many things. There's nothing I can do. I mean, I'm not there with him. I can't call his teacher. I can't call his friends. Just transitioning over from that high school person where you had so much access to having no access is one thing. He's on his own. He's in Napa. And the most recent situation was a situation between my son and my husband, where sometimes I feel like my husband is in a caveman state of his understanding of people. And I'm a doctor, so I meet people where they are every day, like thousands and thousands of people. So I have a little bit of a different sense of, like, how are you going to help someone without them not trusting you? I have to make trusting relationships very quickly. So the issue was my son worked for my husband this summer. My son wanted his money. My husband felt like he needed to fill out the paperwork for direct deposit, and he couldn't get it. He's ADHD, he's navigating, it's been a month of school. And I'm like, just give him the money. Just do it yourself. Like, I am so worried that the relationship between my husband and my son can be so volatile that it could send my son back into a spiral. But I also don't want to, mom, I need $100. Mom, I need $200. I don't want to just give him money every time he says he needs it. But I also can't be in control of every decision that he makes. I cannot manage. I want him to have food and he goes out with his friends, and man, drugs are everywhere. He went to a party in Napa Valley, and just the amount of drugs. He called me, which I was just like so grateful to God for. He was like, "Mom, I did drink a little bit, but you'll be proud of me. I only had two drinks. I met my limit and I felt like a little buzz, but I knew I shouldn't do any more. There were drugs, but I didn't do drugs." Like, he's sharing with me is so just amazing, and I'm grateful for it. But I'm trying to just help my husband understand that CJ is going to go kind of, he's going to make a few steps forward. He's going to make a few steps backward. We don't want to enable him. We don't want to We don't want to support bad habits, but we also like I'm from DC, so I'm a news junkie. Like I'm of the mindset that I don't want to do anything that pushes him to the point where he feels like he has no one, because he's going to have stressors that I don't know anything about on his day to day. So
Yes,
so
yes. You mentioned a couple of things, but in our short period of time, I'm going to address a couple. One is that a lot of times different parents have different perspectives on how you should go about things. And I do think that your son having executive functioning challenges, the transition is going to be rough. And you've already know that because you just described it, right? And it means that his decision making is going to lag a little bit behind his peers. And so you have to help him with the transition by understanding in reality, he's out there on his own, right? And so he's made a lot of day-to-day decisions. How you can support him is one, what you correctly stated earlier is putting some parameters around him. Right. So, like, for example, you might give him a budget about what y'all gonna give him. And you might adjust that for the fact that he has executive functioning difficulties, right? So you might even have that deposit be weekly or every other week instead of monthly, because he may not be able to manage a month, right? But if you're gonna give him the $50 a week, I'm just using it as an example, then have that going, you maybe set up the direct deposit, right? You help him with that. Your husband is a different story. I mean, I feel like that what you can talk to him about is keeping the connection as opposed to sort of imposing these rules from days gone by, right? And what you can do, if he will even venture to go to a therapist, maybe you could do that in a parent session, right? About how to parent him. So it doesn't look like your husband is the center of attention. You can have it be about your child, but the child is not present. Do you understand what I'm saying? You have to sometimes, this is a finesse game, y'all. This is not always a straightforward game. But I
Painful.
wanted to encourage you. You're on the right track and you're making some tough decisions and you're making a lot of them in a loving way. And just to emphasize that I understand how sometimes it's really difficult being between the spouse and the kid. And with that, Kelly,
Yeah, I was going to
I
say
think
thank
we're
you so much for
over
sharing,
time.
Chandra. And
Thank
we
you
are
a
in a
lot.
thank you.
People are
Appreciate
really putting
everybody.
themselves on the line today. And these last couple of calls have, I really do feel like I've been from the soul. And
Absolutely.
we're just going to keep going, y'all.
Yes.
Once a month, it's just, we're going to just keep going.
Right.
Because now more than ever, we need each other.
I love that. Thank you for sharing, Dr. Linda, and everybody that spoke up and put notes in the text and all of this conversation this morning. We'll continue next week, as we do every Sunday. And right now, I'll turn it over to Dr. Vicky, who will close us out in a prayer. And thank you, Dr. Linda, as always, for being here on the first Sunday of every month. And you've been here for 6 years, so appreciate you so much. Dr. Vicky.
Thank you, Kelly. Thank you, Dr. Linda. God, we thank you for another day that you've kept us. We choose to rejoice and give you glory. We choose to move forward with gratitude. Thank you for this call, for the wisdom that has been shared, for the transparency and the vulnerability. We lift up every household, every family, every grieving heart, every mom who is concerned about her child. God, we just thank you for the Sunrise Project and this community. Thank you for the power of community and the power of connection. Thank you that our steps are ordered by you and no good thing will you withhold from us as we continue to walk uprightly before you as best as we know how. God, we thank you and we praise you for provision. We thank you for protection. We thank you for perspective and the mind to shift perspective when necessary. Bless us to come together again on next week at this time. Thank you for great grace to get through this week, to get through this day, to get through the next moment sometimes. We give you glory for it all. In your name we do pray. Amen. Have amen. A powerful day, everyone.
Yes, amen. Thank you, everybody. We'll see you next week. Have a beautiful day. Thank you. Okay.